You have got to be kidding.
I'm not going in.
And you're not leaving those. You actually think you're gonna score points with Buffy this way?
This isn't about Buffy.
Bull. We're all hip to your doomed obsession.
Death of choice.
Like you care about her.
Guys. Guys, not here.
Care?
Joyce was the only one of the lot of you that I could stand.
And she's the only one with a daughter you wanted to shag. I'm touched.
I liked the lady. You understand, Monkey Boy? She was decent. She didn't put on airs.
She also had a nice cuppa for me. And she never treated me like a freak.
How's it going? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking about Season 5, Episode 17, titled Forever. Written and directed by Martin Noxon. Original air date, April 17th. 2001, to an audience of 4.29 million people. You know, they really let that last episode sit for a couple weeks. The Body original air date was February 27th, 2001, and this one's April 17th. So they gave, they took the month of March off.
Award season. All right. I would think.
Fair enough. You know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, long time in between. We got a shout out to our Discord user, Tofu Lover, who lovely sent us some Mountain Dew Baja Blast energy drinks that we will be utilizing to power us through future podcast episodes. So thank you very much. Tofu Lover, really appreciate that. If you want to get a shout out, the way to do it is
buy us stuff.
the ways to do it, a couple ways. 5-star Apple Podcast rating and review. 5-star rating on Spotify. Screenshot it, send it to my DMs as proof. And then also buy us stuff off of our Amazon wish list. Those are the ways. This is the way. This is Boys Watching Buffy. We're your hosts.
This is going to be a weird episode.
This is going to be a weird episode. I'm in a weird space right now. Also join our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where you can do Boys Watching Angel. You got Boys Watching Movies, where we did the Barbie movie. So yep, check yep. that out. Good stuff there. Yeah. I'm having a little bit of inner turmoil, everybody. I got a new microphone and it's been giving me issues. So I'm feeling a little defeated, a little deflated, but we're powering through. Right, Vance?
Sure.
All right. So what did you think of Forever? First impressions of Forever.
It's fine.
It's yeah, fine. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's tough because the last episode is so heavy that you're yes. hoping that they could somehow through this episode get to like back to having a little bit of fun uh-huh. and they don't quite get there, but they do tackle something that I thought would have come up.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this in the last episode where it is like, there's witches.
Yeah.
Just bring her back. Tackles that immediately.
Yeah. I gotta say, Willow is questionable. Willow's real questionable, man.
Yes, she is. She is doing some real, real bad stuff in this episode, I feel like.
Yeah. This is like real grimy for Willow.
Yeah.
And we've seen her do like a little questionable stuff, but this is, I don't know, this is low. Like,
it's, I don't even know, like, I just don't know.
I think her trying to rationalize it at the end made it even worse.
Yeah. And I think Tara not realizing what happened is even worse.
Well, this happens all the time in the show where someone tries to give a lame excuse lie, and it's so obvious that you're like, how is a person looking at what we're looking at and not realizing that that person's lying or trying to cover something up?
Yeah, it's real weird, dude.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, let's get into the episode. Episode opens up, gives us a nice little reminder about Joyce dying and Dawn being the key. Nice short and sweet recap this time around. Then we have the episode opening with Buffy looking at caskets in a dark room. And it was so dark and dreary and mysterious. I was like, is this a dream? This seems like it's a dream sequence.
I knew right away with the creepy music that she was just picking out a casket. Because we've had her looking around, and this is like what patrol looks like half the time. So this was a nice, like, I mean, you know what's coming, and you know it's subverting expectations, but it's fine, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's all right. She's looking at caskets, she's looking at urns, she's looking at every which way to put Joyce in the ground, you know, or in an urn.
I don't think they're cremating her.
Well, yeah, no, they have urns like on the table behind all the caskets.
No, yeah, I mean, the place sells probably both, but she wasn't looking at that.
So, you know, Buffy opens one up. She's looking at it and like, oh, could this be a place, a forever home for my mom's body? And then Giles, Dawn, and the funeral guy show up. And he's like, oh, that's a nice casket choice there, Buffy. I really like that one. And Dawn is like, are you sure? Sure about that? You sure that's the one Joyce would like?
Yeah. And for me, I'm like, just pick the cheapest one for me. Just pick the cheapest one. It's going into the ground.
Yeah. Dude,
I don't need the ropes.
Whatever's cheapest.
I don't need burlap sack. Lean me against the dumpster.
Yeah. Throw me off a cruise ship. So Buffy chooses one, and Dawn's like, you sure that's the one that mom would want? You sure that she would want to be there? I mean, it's where her body's going to be forever. Like, you sure that that's the one that she would want? And Buffy's like, listen, dude, like, I don't care. We're picking that one. Which one do you think it should be? Mm-hmm. And Dawn's like, well, I don't know. And then Buffy's like, well, then we're picking this one. And then she's kind of like, maybe it wasn't such a good idea to bring you along to do some of this stuff. And Dawn's like, no, I'm fine. But everybody else, like, Buffy's dressed up in kind of like a nice shirt and pants. Giles is wearing a suit. The funeral guy is wearing a suit. Dawn's wearing like jeans, a hoodie, and like this Panthers sports fucking baseball tee or some shit.
Yeah, She does not need to get dressed up for the funeral, the casket shopping.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, Giles is going to wear a suit regardless of the situation, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's just Giles.
Yeah.
So then they go back home, and they're at the Summer's home, and Giles is going over florist prices and colors and stuff with Buffy, and the Scoobies are all there, and they're all eating together. It's like Xander, Willow, and Giles and Buffy. And Buffy's trying to get all this paperwork shit done and figure out like how to do the funeral. And Dawn's sad because Buffy's making all these decisions about what Joyce would have wanted and how she wanted to be, like how she wanted to be have a funeral and all that shit. And Dawn's like, well, Mom never talked to me about any of this stuff. And why didn't she talk to me? Why'd she only talk to you? And Buffy's like, well,
because you ain't real.
Yeah. Facts. Hardcore facts right there.
It was the moment when she realized that Dawn wasn't real. It's in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that after her surgery or before it, though?
It was I think it was before. I think it was before the surgery because she was telling her to take care of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because she was like, if anything happens to me, take care of Dawn.
I know she's not mine, but she needs to be protected. Like, she's some type of important key.
For some reason. Because she signed a contract for 3 seasons. But, yeah, Buffy explains to Dawn, like, yeah, I mean, Mom talked to me about all this stuff when she was having her surgery, and just in case anything happened to her. And Dawn's like, oh, God. She trusts Buffy, the older and real daughter, more than me? The 14-year-old fake daughter? And then Buffy's like, Dawn, how about you eat some food? Maybe you should eat.
We're back to the eating. The eating. Yeah. The eating that solves mourning. Let's go to a buffet. Let's go to a buffet. That'll make you feel better.
And Dawn's like, I don't want to eat. And Buffy's like, well, you really got to eat. And then Dawn's like, well, you're not eating. And Buffy's like, dude, I'm going through some shit trying to figure all this stuff out.
Which we'll bring up later at the end, because that was an interesting fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they get a phone call, and Buffy's like, whoever it is, I'm not here. Well, unless it's my dad. And then Giles is like, all right, cool. Giles picks up the phone. And I forget who it was, but yeah, Buffy talks.
Yeah, I don't remember the scene exactly. I just remember her bringing up, like, I can't believe Dad hasn't called and we don't have a number for him.
Yeah. She's like, man, he still hasn't called. He's off in Spain, just fucking his secretary.
Like, how long is this trip?
Dude.
Because he's been in Spain since before the surgery.
Yeah, but I think that he lives there.
Oh. I thought he was just on vacation or like a business trip.
I mean, if it is, that's a long, trip.
It's been 4 months at least.
Yeah.
I wonder if we see the dad again, because it's really strange that we haven't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the news, maybe they called, well, they can't call him. Because they don't have a number to call him. Yeah, I don't know.
If he has a secretary, there has to be a way to reach him. Right?
Yeah.
It seems like that would be one of the key jobs.
Yeah, he's just MIA, dude. Like, he's gone.
Like, to a point where I don't understand. Gone. Like, does the show not want to deal with it?
I mean, I guess it's not.
He's going to come back. Giles is going to get in his face about him being an absentee dad. Like, that's the thing, right?
It has to be. Like, there's got to be something. I just don't.
they got to be building to something.
Yeah. Maybe he's the cat in the dreams.
Yes, that'd be amazing.
But, yeah, after she kind of brushes off, like, man, I can't believe that he still hasn't called. They go back to planning out all this stuff, and Buffy says that Joyce didn't want a wake or a gathering after the funeral. She's trying to figure out how to word that at the congregation at the funeral. Just like, oh, at the behest of the family, there's not going to be a gathering afterwards. Joyce wouldn't have wanted it or whatever. And Dawn is like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't even want to be around anymore. And Buffy's like, what? And Willow or Dawn is like, after the funeral, can I stay with Willow? And Buffy's like, Willow, are you okay with this? And Willow's like, yeah, I guess so. I can't say no to a grieving fake daughter.
Yeah, this seems safe because Glory's still out there, right? Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah. I mean, Willow did make her disappear
True.
Once before.
True. But I don't want that hot potato in my dorm.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. How awkward is that, dude?
Did you think it's strange that her sleeping bag is in the attic?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That seems like an under-the-bed type thing, or, like, back of the closet.
Yeah, like, the attic is, like, so far out of the way.
Yeah, that's, like, real storage for stuff that, like, I don't know.
Like Christmas decorations.
Yeah, like that one time a year. But like sleeping bag, it's school year.
Yeah, she does sleepovers.
Yeah. I don't think I took sleeping bags a bunch to sleepovers. I know I had one at one point, but it wasn't
I definitely had sleeping bags, but I don't remember if I took them to sleepovers. I had two of at some point.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I know. I didn't keep it in the attic.
Yeah, I do know that. Mine was under my bed. So now Willow and Xander are leaving the Summer's home, and Willow's talking about how she's going to stop by her mom's house before she heads home. And because, you know, after this whole Joyce situation, it's really put things into perspective. Maybe we should be spending more time with our family. And Xander's like, yeah, I'm going to visit your mom, too. I'm not going to visit my family because they're fucking crazy and scary.
I like how they had him deliver that line as if he was going to like it was a mom. I'm going to have sex with your mom joke.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to visit your mom, too. Because I'm not seeing my mom. It's like they had that extra beat there.
So as they're all walking away, Spike shows up and he's got flowers. And Xander's like, bro, are you fucking serious right now? Don't you know that you're not welcome here anymore? And Spike is like, this has nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with trying to get with Buffy. I just really liked Joyce. She was the only one of you guys that I could actually stand. And Xander's like, I know your game, dude. You're going to try and use Joyce's death as a way to try and fuck Buffy. And that is the lowest of the low. And Spike's like, no, dude, you didn't see the scenes where me and Joyce were interacting. We watched Passions together.
Yeah.
She always had a nice cuppa for me. She also never treated me like a freak like you guys do. And Xander's like, I don't care, dude. You're still not going in there. And then Spike just throws the flowers on the ground and he huffs and puffs away. And Xander's like, good riddance to that guy. He's still trying to fuck Buffy. If anyone's going to fuck Buffy right now, it's going to be me. He doesn't say that. But Willow starts to feel a little bit bad for Spike at this situation because she like picks up the flowers and she's like, he didn't leave a card.
I thought that was an interesting he didn't leave a card, as if he would have knocked on the door and handed them to her or something. Like, it wasn't implied that he was just going to drop them off and leave, you know?
Yeah, I didn't understand what the he didn't leave a card, like, had to do with anything.
It's one of those, like, oh, he doesn't want credit for it. He just wants to leave flowers and he was just going to drop them off. Like, it'd be one thing if he was dropping them off and then they caught him dropping them off. But, like, when he's walking there, I'm assuming he might knock. You know, say these are for your mom. Like,
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah. And also, a vampire just strolled up onto them. Like, what is if he was just not like a chipped vampire, what were they going to do? Like, I never understand.
I mean, I don't understand why Spike is still alive, number one. Why isn't Xander or Willow just stake him, or Xander at least stake him right here? Xander seems to be the type of guy who would, like, do that, fly off the handle, just stake him. He's like, enough's enough.
Or Giles, any of them. But I would be like Faith and be accidentally staking regular people at every turn. Like, if you approach me at night, you're getting a stake to the chest.
Absolutely,
or at least holy water to the face. I'd just be splashing everybody. I'm like, it's easier to splash and ask for forgiveness than to not splash and get bitten.
Bro, I'd be Annie Oakley with my holy water squirt guns. Yeah. Just holstered at all times.
Hey, you got the time? Getting spritzed.
I only got the time for humans.
Oh, man. I did wish that we would have gotten a Spike, Buffy, Joyce, a scene where he talked to Buffy about it.
Yeah, I thought that it was going to happen a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But nope. So Buffy and Dawn are having like a little sad little montage in their house. Then the montage takes us to the funeral montage, and everybody's sad. Dawn's crying, Buffy's crying, Willow and Willow is like looking at the casket and Tara is just like staring deeply at Willow like the whole time. It seemed like. Yeah. And so the ceremony ends. Everybody's like, all right, we're all leaving. Willow goes up, or Tara goes up to Buffy and she's like, hey, I think Dawn wants to go now, so I think we're going to take her. Is that all right with you? And Buffy's like, yeah, I think I'm going to stay here for a bit and just kind of soak this all in. And they're like, all right, cool. So Dawn leaves with Willow and Tara. And then we get a nice little fast forward to sunset. Buffy's still standing at the funeral site. And it's nighttime now. And Angel shows up. And he holds Buffy's hand.
I don't know if you can just let someone creep up on you in the graveyard like that.
Like, I don't know if Buffy would have allowed it. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea, dude. He doesn't have breath. It'd be a lot easier for him to sneak up.
Yeah, but you're the Slayer. You can't be getting snuck up on by vampires.
Truth, dude. Absolute truth.
Yeah. The time lapse, like, how did you know? But yeah. Like,
it was a pretty interesting time lapse.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Angel's there. They're holding hands. Potential drama. So then we cut to Willow and Tara with Dawn having their sleepover. And Willow and Tara are trying to comfort Dawn. And they're like, hey, you know, I know things are tough right now, but, you know, it'll get better. And Dawn's like, I don't think so, dude. I don't think it's going to get better at all. And Willow's like, yeah, I mean, it will. Like, you know, time heals all wounds. And Dawn's like, nah, I don't think so. What am I supposed to just forget about my mom? And Tara's like, well, you don't forget about her, but, you know, you make a special place in your heart for her and you always remember her and all the lessons that you learned from her and all that stuff. And Dawn's like, I don't give a fuck about any of that. I don't want to sleep. I want to do a spell that's going to bring my mom back.
Now, here's when I was like, should Dawn be more equipped to handle her mom being dead after having figured out that she wasn't real? Like, I feel like my head would still be spinning with, like, what is reality at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't know what is reality. I still don't know what is reality. Like, is this a multiple different timelines type situation? Multiverse? Is Joyce still alive in another universe? Like, what the fuck?
I would expect some Anya information from this. Like, what's going on? Like, the witches know about, like, bringing people back from the dead and stuff. And it's just like, just knowing that you're a key and a fictional person that some monks made up would make you just like, she doesn't even reference it. Like, hey, I'm made up. Let's just make her back up, you know, like find another monk that can put her memories back in. And or you could do an Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind type situation where you try to get her memories like erased so you don't feel the sadness. They could have tried to do that.
That was such a great movie, dude. Yeah, that movie is so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dawn's like, you guys are witches, right? You know how to do spells, and I want to do a spell to bring my mom back. And my note here says Vance predicted this.
I mean, you have to at least discuss it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Anya and Xander having sex, and it's really intense sex. And they say
it's intense. It looks very unexciting.
Yeah, it looks very mild sex.
It's clothed it's missionary clothed and like obviously like she's lying way too far down. Like
whoa, pause. It is not missionary. Anya's on top.
Oh, Anya's top is cowgirl. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
Corrections and omissions would have killed you for that.
You're right.
But yeah, Anya's talking about how like, wow, that was a really intense sex. And Xander's like, yeah, it really was. And Anya's like, you know why I think it was? I think it's because of Joyce. And Xander's like, say what? and Anya explains like, yeah, you know, this whole mortality thing, it's really fucking with my mind. I think it's making sex more exciting. Like, as sex is about, you know, life and living and making life. And, you know, I want to make life with you, Xander. And Xander's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not on some kind of demon birth control? I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like, you know, having a kid right now, that's not a good idea. You know, it's more for older people, richer people. And Anya's like, no. I'm not saying I want to have kids with you right now, Xander. But I think that making life would be a beautiful thing. I'd like to do it with you eventually someday because it would make me feel like I'm part of something bigger. And it makes life seem, it makes life worth living or whatever, that kind of shit.
I think Xander's in the best position he is in now to bring a kid into the world, except for living on a hellmouth.
Fact. You know, there's people like in real life, they're like, yeah. I don't want to bring a kid into this world because we fucked it up so much. Like, yeah. They're going to bring a kid into the hellmouth.
I'm like, you know how he's got a solid job, got a nice place. He can only go up from there. Chances are you die before you even need to deal with retirement. Anya works at a magic shop, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on the other hand, this is a baby, an innocent, just susceptible to death baby. Like, they're having a hard enough time with Dawn, who is a 14-year-old who can, like, do shit. And then they're going to bring a baby, a helpless baby into the world.
There are people that have been born and raised in Sunnydale, and they all deserve a medal for surviving absolutely. As long as they did.
Absolutely. Yo, you know, they should all be like branded slayers because they take the slayer's powers away and they're like, survive in this room with a vampire. Like, that's like 90% of Sunnydale High.
Yeah.
Like, the Watcher should be giving them all, like, a medal or something. Some kind of, like, at least a sew-on patch like the Girl Scouts.
I survived Sunnydale. Yeah.
Yeah. And all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Sure. But, yeah. Nice little let's have kids moment there between Anya and Xander. Then we go back to the sleepover, and Tara's talking to Dawn and she's like, yo, I don't think it's a good idea to bring Joyce back. And Dawn's like, why? And then Tara's like, magic can't be used to alter the natural order of things. And Dawn says, all you do is mess with the natural order of things. And I wrote in my notes, in all capital letters, facts.
Yeah. I was like, that's a good counter. Good counter.
Yeah, it's absolutely a good counter. Like, how are you going to say that?
Yeah.
Like, you literally transported Glory. Like, that's not natural.
You took a troll and sent him into another dimension and don't know where you sent him. He could killing
none of
tons
witchcraft
of
is natural. Yeah. None of that's natural. It's supernatural.
But then Tara goes on about like life and death. We don't mess with life and death, right?
Yeah. And then Willow was like, I don't even know if it's possible.
And, like, and then they say witches took an oath.
Yeah. It took an oath not to mess with life and death. And then Dawn's like, so if they took an oath, that means that it is possible. Because they wouldn't make an oath if it wasn't possible and it wasn't something that they've already done. And then Willow's like, no, you can't. It's too dangerous. And Dawn does the manipulative as fuck move where she goes, you guys said that you wanted to help me. And now you're not letting me bring my mom back from the dead? How rude.
I wouldn't say that's manipulative. I would just be like, listen to yourself. That sounds stupid. And Buffy is our friend. We can't do that to our friend Buffy.
Yeah.
Like... And we know you're the key and just a fictional person from like a few months ago. Like, we have that knowledge. We understand you have human feelings and memories and hurt. But we can't do that. That would be irresponsible.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys said we were going to have fun today. Why aren't you guys giving me drugs and alcohol?
You said that we were going to have fun.
Yeah. Like, no. No.
Why aren't we at the Bronze where everybody dies?
Why do they keep talking about the witch's oath? And all this stuff. I'm like, there's bad witches. And you guys aren't in the union. The witches union.
That's what I was just about to say. They're not registered witches.
Yeah.
They're operating outside of the law.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, then Dawn lays down and she like has a little hissy fit. She's like,
you guys aren't gonna help me. Fucking bullshit.
I love their room has like one bed in it. It's like, and it doesn't have that other. It's like a two-person room, but it doesn't have the extra bed.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah,
I don't get it. But
and is Tara staying in her same dorm room that's like dark? Are they sharing?
I don't know.
Oh, because Buffy moved out. Because Buffy moved out, but why did Buffy take the bed? Right? Weren't they roommates for a minute and then Buffy moved out? At the beginning of like...
Yeah, Willow and Buffy were roommates.
Yeah, and then she decided to move home when her mom got sick.
Yeah.
But the bed should still be there.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. So then we go to Buffy and Angel talking... leaning up against the tree, and Buffy's talking to Angel about all of her worries, and she's like, dude, I don't even know like how to handle any of this stuff. Like, this is crazy. I'm 20, dude. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm worried that, you know, after all this funeral stuff dies down, like tomorrow is just, I have to go on living everyday life as if none of this happened, and I'm not strong, and I don't, like, I'm superficially strong and like, yeah, I can lift people above my head, but like Joyce was the real strong one. She was the one that was doing everyday life and making decisions and all this stuff. And Angel's like, hey, it's going to take time for you to figure out all this stuff. This is a big deal. And Buffy goes on about her, like, maybe I could have saved her. And then she starts blaming herself. Like, what if I had gotten there 10 minutes earlier? And Angel's like, dude, the paramedic said that probably wouldn't have helped at all. And then Buffy's like, yeah, but they said probably. That means there's a chance. And Angel's like, oh, dude, but you can't do that. You can't do this to yourself. You're going to drive yourself crazy. And also... you don't have to take care of all this stuff alone. You have a bunch of people. You have a lot of people in your life that can help you. And I can help you. And I'll stay in town as long as you need me. And Buffy goes, how about you stay in town forever?
The look on his face was like, I kind of got shit to do.
I just got back together with my crew, it seems like.
Yeah. They're on the breakup tree. It seems like they're in the same framing as the tree when they were talking and he knew he had to leave for good. Back at the end of season 3, I think, after the high school.
I mean, it could be anything. Yep. All they do is hang out in graveyards in this show.
Yeah. Well, a bigger question for me in this moment is, who's on patrol? Who is on patrol?
I mean, maybe Xander.
I think we saw Xander in bed with Anya. I think
this was on the same night.
Yeah.
They're having intense sex because of Joyce.
Is Giles Joyce out there by himself patrolling? And this graveyard is huge.
It's absolutely enormous, dude.
This is not the one that we see them traipsing around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, after Buffy says, I want you to stay here forever, Angel, like she kisses Angel and they start making out a little bit, and then Buffy pulls away and she's like, you know what, maybe you better go, actually. This is about to get real complicated again. I really don't want to relive season 2. But she's like, I'm grateful that you came. Thank you for coming. But, you know, it looks like it's about to be morning again. And then Angel goes, but we still got a few more minutes before I have to go. I mean, it's like, if you want to do something, I just, you know... maybe if I get real sad about having sex with you, you know, I just had sex with Darla. I kind of figured that stuff out.
It's weird that he's going to run, that he's going to try to run from the middle of this graveyard that has no cover
when right?
the sun comes up. Yeah.
But, yeah, he's like, we still got a few minutes before I have to go. And Buffy's like, good. And then they, like, cuddle each other and...
oh, yeah, he could smell the sunrise. We learned that.
Oh, you're right. In Amends, our favorite episode.
Heavy air quotes.
So then we cut to Dr. Intern Ben, and he's leaving the hospital, and Jinx is there waiting for him. And he's like, hello, Dr. Intern Ben. The most glorious, glorificus glory is a little upset with you because it seems like you were attempting to court the Slayer. But initially she was upset, but now she approves because we think it's a great way that we can get more information about the key. Maybe that the Slayer knows a bit about the key. And Dr. Intern Ben's like, no, I'm not trying to court Buffy, dude. Like, you heard wrong. You must have got some kind of wires crossed. I'm not doing that shit anymore. And then Jinx is like, I mean, I hate to tell you this, Dr. Intern Ben, but time is running short. And Dr. Intern Ben is like, I'm not going to help Glory find the key, all right? It's going to lead to a bunch of destruction and death, and I couldn't do that to an innocent. And then Jinx is like, an innocent? An innocent what? Innocent what? Dr. Intern Ben's like, nothing. Innocent nothing is nothing. And Jinx is like, no, 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 go on, go on, go on. Why don't you tell a little bit more about this innocent thing? You know what, actually, I think I can take it from here. I'm going to go. And then Dr. Intern Ben's like, you're not going anywhere, buddy, because now I feel like you know a little bit too much. So I can't let you go to Glory and tell her about this key situation. So I'm going to grab this knife that you have on your little monk robe, and I'm going to stab you in the gut with it. But I'm not going to finish the job.
Yeah.
What? Why did he kill him?
I'm just going to leave you here and assume that you're going to die.
Yeah, he just Austin Powers it. Like, just kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this is like pretty much confirming that they're the same person. We had that confirmed kind of last episode anyway. And
yeah.
All other times. But it's interesting. I wonder how they share, like, hey, my shift at the hospital is right now. Like,
yeah.
Can I morph like this?
What if something crazy happens while he's at the hospital?
Do they have a calendar with a schedule? And also, did Glory just give up on her threat of killing everybody around Buffy until she tells her where the key is?
Yeah, I guess
now
she did.
Like, ooh, better plan. Seduce her to the key.
Better plan. Let me have my brother fuck her.
Yeah, I was like, I thought you were just going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Aren't you mad at her for teleporting you?
It seems like a way more effective plan to, you know, kill everybody.
Yeah. Seems like more like what she would want to do. And she has to, like, suck brains anyway. So.
Yeah, and it's, like, easier, I feel like, too. Like, mm-hmm. Glory has no problem beating the shit out of Buffy. Like, she could just take a regular person so easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But, yeah. Dr. Intern Ben stabs Jinx, and then he, like, looks around all suspicious-like, and he just
walks off. You can kill anyone anywhere in this town. They're not even solving murders anymore.
Yeah. So then the next scene is Willow and Tara talking to Dawn, and Willow's like, hey, we're going to go have breakfast, and you want to come with? And Dawn's like, I'm not hungry. And then Willow's like, all right, well, we got class after that breakfast, so we're not going to be around for a little bit. So what's the deal? But I know that Giles is coming to pick you up. And Dawn's like, yeah, he said he'd pick me up whenever. And then Will's like, okay, well, I guess you can hang out here with all of our super powerful witch books and potions and spells. You can hang out here alone, unsupervised, until Giles comes and picks you up. I know you were talking about doing a spell to raise your mom from the dead, so we're going to leave you here alone, unsupervised. See ya. And then as they're leaving, Tara leaves first, and then as Willow's leaving, she does a little spell with her hand where she pulls a book full of information about how to potentially raise the dead. She pulls it out from her little bookshelf as like a little hint for Dawn about which book to look into. And my note says, bro, really?
My note says, WTF, Willow. all caps, bold, 3 exclamation marks, and underlined.
Mine says, bro, really, all caps with 3 interrobangs.
Interrobangs, yeah. Man, I was like, what the fuck, Willow?
Bro, so irresponsible.
And here's my thing. We don't need that to happen. Like, I would have liked it better if it was Dawn's plan all along to, like,
yes,
go to their place, wait for them to leave, steal the books. Like,
yes.
Like, this can all happen without Willow lending a hand.
Yeah, dude. Like, Willow does not need it. That's exactly what I was thinking at the beginning of the scene, where they're like, all right, we're going to leave, leave you here. All alone. I was like, oh, she's definitely going through all of her stuff. And then Willow's like giving her an alley-oop for that. It's like, you don't even need to do that, dude.
No.
You know she's going through it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Dawn goes up to the book that Willow like pulls out for her and she starts reading it immediately. She's flipping through the pages feverishly, dude. Like,
it looks like it has a nice index that she can like look through.
Yeah.
It looks like it's all... yeah.
So then we go to Dawn at the magic box, and she's doing some weird, ineffective dusting. She's dusting books and stuff. But it seems like she's actually looking for more books about, you know, how to raise the dead.
The dustier the book, the more you can charge for it, is what I say.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. So then Anya's kind of like, oh, it's nice that you're here. So nice that you're here helping us.
What? Hold on. Why are they selling books? Do they have multiple copies of these books? Wouldn't these books prove useful?
You'd think so.
All right.
You'd think so.
That just dawned on me. Yep.
Dawned on you?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Dawn is like, I'm really happy to be here helping. You know, it's really taking my mind off things. It's helping me get over, you know, my whole fake mom dying. And then Giles is like, well, you can help at the store as long as you like. We approve. This is a healthy way for you to get over things, get your mind off things. And Dawn's like, yeah, I really appreciate you having me here. By the way, where do you keep all of your mega powerful, super off limits spells and books? Just wondering. So I know not to go there. So I know not to go anywhere near those. And Giles is like, oh, they're just upstairs. They're right up there. You see that? We keep all that stuff up there.
Upstairs, out of the open, not locked up. Not in the back area that's huge that we know.
Yeah. That's where we keep everything. So now that you know that, I'm going to disappear for a little bit.
Oh, and Anya has to go away because the customer's here.
Yeah. Anya, you got to go help that customer. I'm going to go do something back in the back. And Dawn's like, wow, this couldn't have been more perfect for me. All right, well, now that everybody's gone, I'm going to immediately run up there with my backpack. I'm going to grab a book and a couple of potions and put them in there.
Luckily, I don't need to figure out which book to grab or which potion. Like, it's a ton of books up there. I think I can get up there and down in like 2 minutes.
Yeah. So she goes up there. No one's noticing this. She comes back downstairs just as Giles is returning, and Giles has his back turned to her, and she like just drops her backpack near the ladder to go up to the off limits area. And Giles is like, oh, cool. Hey, now that I'm back and, you know, you're really close to the ladder that I just said where all the powerful stuff is, come on over. Anya can show you how to use the cash register and how to ring up a customer. And Dawn's like, yep, I wasn't up there doing anything suspicious. Yep, I'm gonna show me how to do it, Anya, you big dumb dipshit.
And it lingers on the backpack just sitting at the bottom of the thing.
I thought that it was gonna be like Giles would be like, hey, how'd that get there?
It was one of those things where I was like, I know we want the episode to go forward with her actually going through the spell. So she's going to get the book and stuff. So I don't know, like, yeah, I didn't think he would find it or do anything that would stop it. But this scene might have been almost better if Giles pulled a Willow and was like, oh, it's up there. And he looked at her and was like, I'm going to go into the back, wink, wink. Like, if he was doing it for her to do it.
Yeah.
And everyone was going behind Buffy's back or something.
Yeah, it was really weird how... Like,
it was just too convenient. It was just so convenient.
Just like, I'm going to go into the back now that I've told you exactly where to find all of the shit that you need to do this incredibly dangerous spell that everyone warned you about and you really shouldn't be doing, and the witches took an oath not to do it. We'll let this fake 14-year-old girl who has no witchcraft experience... that's where all the stuff is.
Yeah. Why do they sell or have this stuff in the open? This should be in Giles's house.
I have no idea. I mean, yeah.
Don't put something in a store that's not for sale.
Yeah.
That's not for sale. Upstairs is not for sale.
I mean, Giles makes it seem like it is for sale. Like, he's like, well, if a really powerful, potent person comes up, we can have them do it.
Yeah, if a powerful, potent person walks in here, they're just taking it.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So then we cut to Dawn at Joyce's burial plot. She starts doing a spell or something right there, and Spike shows up behind her, and he's like, what the fuck do you think you're doing, little bit? And she's like, no. I'm not doing a spell to raise my mom from the dead. Please don't tell Buffy that I'm doing this.
What do you think of the nickname Little Bit?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Do you think it's short for bitch?
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, I don't know. I don't think it is.
Wasn't he calling Buffy Petal at one point? Something. He has a different nickname for her. I forget.
Yeah, I don't know.
A little bit. It'd be funny.
Yeah. But Spike is like, you know what? I'm not going to tell Buffy that you're doing this spell. I get why you're doing it. I'm not going to tell her. In fact, I'm going to help you. And Dawn's like, wee-wee.
I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we have this weird scene that makes no sense to me.
Almost forgot to write it down in my notes because I was like waiting for the scene to keep going so that I would write down what the scene was.
Yeah, it plays into nothing. It leads to nothing. Nothing happens. There's like a 15 to 30 second scene of Giles at home drinking and listening to a record. And that's it.
Yeah, and I think I recognize the song, but I don't remember what it was.
I'm sure the song, it has some kind of like raise the dead secret meaning, or like it's probably the zombies or some shit.
Yeah, everything is done deliberately.
Yeah. So we got Spike leading Dawn to a like resurrection spell guru guy. He's like, look, if you're going to go into like raising the dead, you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing. Everything that I have heard about raising the dead, this guy that I'm taking you to, he's the number one name in raising the dead. And then Dawn's like, I know why you're helping me. You're just doing this so you can fuck my sister. And Spike is like, no, dude. Why does everybody think that this is my only? Also, didn't you think I was cool like an episode ago?
I thought there was going to be a little more tension between the like, she thinks he's cool and not, but when he showed up at the magic box and Giles got in his face, she was not having it either.
Yeah.
So she moved on quick.
She really did. She had a crush on him. She knew that he was in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that told Buffy.
Yeah.
And it's like, she just flipped on and turned on him so fast.
I mean, he did try to kill her and kidnapped her and chained her up.
True.
So, yeah.
Very true. But anyway, Spike is like, no, I'm not just doing this to try and fuck your sister. And she's like, then why are you doing this? And he goes, I just hate it when I see Summer's women taking it on the chin, if I'm being real with you. Like, it makes me sad to see you guys get kicked down so much. It's like, you're the one that was doing that kicking down for so much, dude.
Except for when I'm trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And yeah, he's like, I don't want any credit for this. And I'm like, that's the smartest thing. You want your name nowhere near bring you back.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Especially if it goes wrong, which you know it's going to.
Yes.
So then we go to a scene of Glory at her apartment, and she's like, where is Jinx? He's been gone for a long time, and there's like three or four other dregs there, and they're all concerned too. They're like, yeah, I don't know. We haven't heard from him. He's been gone for a while. And then Jinx shows up, and he's all wounded. He's got a fucking stab wound from when Dr. Ben stabbed him that one time but didn't finish the job. And he's like, oh, most glorious Glory. I have some news. And the other dregs are carrying him. And Glory goes, mind the rug, honey. Blood's a bitch to get out. And Glory finds out that Ben is the one that stabbed Jinx. And she's like, how could he? This is bad news. And Jinx tells Glory that Ben let him know mistakenly that the key is a person. And Glory is like, that's excellent news. That really narrows shit down, dude. This is awesome. And Jinx is like wounded, and he's still trying to do his like, oh, most glorificus. And Glory's like, you know what? This is such good news. I can even forgive the absolute dog shit compliments that you're giving me right now. It's funny because Jinx is like, he's in such pain.
Yeah.
And he's like, most wonderfully smelling girl. I don't know. I'm dealing with some shit right now.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe that Jinx wasn't dead when he walked in.
Same.
And I think the way this episode goes, he could have died and the information still would have gotten across.
Yeah.
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 We'll discuss that later.
Yeah. So then we go back to Spike and Dawn. And they show up at the Resurrection Guru's house. And they're like, all right, this is the guy. And they go in. The guru shows up. And he's like, hey. He's looking at Spike. He's like, don't I know you? Spike's like, no. He's like, no, you were around the corner store, right? Yeah, I always see you hanging out around the corner store playing dominoes. Spike's like, nah, dude, that ain't me. And I was like, is it him? Like,
well, he goes, he wasn't blonde or a vampire.
Yeah.
So who was he mistaking him for?
Yeah, I have no idea.
And I hadn't thought about that yet until like this podcast, this moment. And I'm thinking whoever he knows might be the third hell demon in the trilogy of those people.
Of the Glory Ben.
Yeah.
Trifecta.
Yeah, they said it was a third person.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
That's all. That's the only person I know we haven't been introduced to yet.
Yeah, but the guru guy is kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's okay. Well, maybe my eyesight's going. I am getting old. But I could have swore it was you. And Dawn's like, hey, you know what? Maybe we should go. This guy seems a little weird. So he's like, no. You want to raise your mom from the dead? This is the guy to go to. So Spike is like, heard that you're the guy to go to about raising people from the dead. Is that true? And the guru is like, oh, you guys, that you don't want to mess with that kind of stuff. And they're like, why not? Maybe we do want to mess with that stuff. And then the guru is like, are either of you witches? And they're like, no. Like, either of you have any kind of superpowers or anything? And Spike's like, well, I'm a vampire. And he's like, Great. Okay, well, I don't think this is a good idea, but goes up to Dawn and plucks a hair from her head, and he looks at it in the light, and he's like, you do have really strong DNA.
Really
strong fake DNA.
Yeah, I mean, these monks are thorough. They gave her a full summer's genetics. I did like that he offered that he could make the grieving process less painful for her. And she was like,
yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm more interested in that raising the dead situation. Yeah.
If only O'Doyle or whatever was still alive, that would have been amazing to bring him back.
That would have been cool.
With his giant Bowie knife.
Oh, you mean O'Toole?
O'Toole,
Ryan O'Toole. Yeah. Yeah. So the guru is like looking at her hair. He's like, you do have strong DNA. And then he turns around. He goes over and he starts looking at this book. And Dawn sees that he like has a tail. And she's like, uh-oh, that's weird. And then the
that's
guru
weird? Goes, that's right, the weird right? thing? You're standing next to a vampire. That's the weird thing?
And then the guru guy picks up this enormous book and he looks at it and he looks at Spike and Dawn like, this is the big book of stuff that you guys want to know about. And according to the closed captions that I used, it says that he's humming Peter and the Wolf. I don't know if that plays any kind of significance if that's about zombies or something.
You don't know Peter and the Wolf?
I don't think I do.
Peter, isn't Peter Wolf the guy who just cries wolf all the time? And then he plays a prank on all the people and they keep coming to like find the wolf.
Oh, it's the boy who cried wolf?
Yeah, I think that's Peter and the Wolf, right? Yeah.
I guess so. I just didn't know it was a song. But anyway, so then the guru guy starts talking about like, hey, this is all the stuff that you need to do in order to make this happen. All right. You got the spell. You got the ingredients, right? And Dawn's like, yep, I already read all about that. And the guru guy's like, the only thing that stands between you and success is a Gora demon. And they're like, what do we need with the Gora demon? He's like, all right, well, you have all the ingredients, but you need to get a Gora demon egg and you need to steal it from the nest of the demon. And they're like, all right, cool. Easy enough. And the guru guy's, wait. The Gora demon will not be happy about this. So you're going to need to do this sneakily. And in order for the spell to work, you need to put an image of Joyce at the center of a sacred circle and say this incantation. And it might take Joyce a while to appear. And if anything goes wrong, the only way to reverse the spell is to destroy the image of Joyce. But I can't guarantee that Joyce will come back exactly as she was. You know, sometimes this stuff gets a little wonky. People can return a little off. But with all that said, the Gora demon have an entrance at near the sewer. It's a couple blocks away. And then Dawn's like, thank you for all of this information. Here, take $3. And the guru is like, nah. I don't need your money. And she's like, all right, thank you. And then the guy's like, keep in touch. Let me know how this whole thing works out. And then he gets like demon-y eyes, like they go all black. And then Dawn's like, ew. And then they leave.
Sometimes dead is better. Pet Cemetery.
Yep. Yep.
And I wish this episode would have done full Pet Cemetery.
Yes.
But yeah. So a couple things. One, Peter and the Wolf is different than the boy who cried wolf. Peter and the Wolf is like that. The boy is going hunting for a wolf and he meets up with a bunch of animals and all the animals are played by different instruments in the animation or whatever. But it's a boy going after a wolf. It's not the boy who cried wolf. Okay. So this scene. Did you get what the black eyes and the weirdness was all about at the end?
No. Did you?
Yes. For me, we saw that he has a tail. He's a reptile. Yes. And from everything that we've learned...
Oh, he can see that she's the key.
Exactly.
Well, I thought that it was only necromanced reptiles can see that she's the key.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure this guy has probably been necromanced. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a necromancer motherfucker.
So, you can tell when you see one of them.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you mentioned that, that guy's totally necromanced.
Yeah. So he could see that that's the key. So he's going to be the one that can, like, pass this information on to Glory.
Oh.
To narrow it down. Because Glory doesn't know that it's Dawn. She just knows that it's a person. So that, like, narrows it down to it being a person and not a bike or anything. They could have made the key into anything. They could have made it into a bunch of keys on a janitor's keychain.
Yeah.
She would have never found that. Anyway.
That would have been a little too obvious and on the nose.
It would have been so obvious she wouldn't even have been looking for it.
Fair.
And you could just throw that into the sewer and she'd never find it. Like, a person seems more easy to find than a lost set of keys. Because what she says, oh, I thought we could be looking for a bike lock or something. She mentions, like, what it could have been. She could have been looking for
anything. They
could
have made it into a piece of hay in a haystack.
Yeah, right? And she wouldn't be able to see it. She would need, like, a snake to look up through everything single haystack in the Midwest.
I'm just picturing that snake that they resurrected with the big arms, like, with a nice little pair of glasses, like, separating each piece of hay. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't think about that, but that is a good point, because he did have a tail, does go demon-y eyes, so.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's what I got from that. Could be wrong, but that's what I got from that. And which, if that's the case, I don't think Jinx needs to be alive to.
Yeah,
like,
true.
To, like, the information could go on without it, if that's the case. But I'm happy Jinx is around. I like Jinx enough. He's a funny character, but I don't know why you wouldn't kill him. Like, he knows the information you don't want Glory to get. You got to kill him.
Yeah, you got to finish the job, Dr. Intern.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dawn and Spike leave and they go to the little, like, sewer entrance. And Spike's like, hey, maybe you should stay back. I'll go in there and get the egg myself. And Dawn's like, no way. And Spike's like, what? Why? Why do you want to go into this? Dawn's like, well, you need somebody to grab the egg while you're distracting it by fighting it. And Spike's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And Dawn's like, too bad. I'm going in with you anyway. And so she goes in. And he's like, it's fucking Summers women, dude. Like,
this is just like a sewer entrance on a main alleyway.
Yeah. What? It's not even like a sewer entrance. It's like going into an alley. Like, there's a bunch of, like, hieroglyphs and shit on it, too, it looks like.
Do they use the egg later? Because I didn't see it.
I think, you know what? I don't think they
do. Is it in the middle?
Maybe it's, like, in the cauldron or some shit.
I don't think there's a cauldron. Is there a cauldron? I don't know.
I think there is, because that's what Joyce's picture's propped up against, right?
Okay, yeah, I was wondering what it was propped up against, but whatever.
Yeah, but anyway. So they go in, they see the demon, it's a giant dinosaur-looking thing. Spike's like, all right, I'm going to go fight this demon, grab the egg. So Spike goes and he just has the most fake, ridiculous-looking fight with this demon where he's just, like, jumping up with his axe and he's like, rah, ah, and the demon's like, rah. Dawn grabs an egg, they start running out, Dawn trips, the egg breaks and spills all over the place, and Spike's like, that was our only chance, dude.
Yeah.
We're not going back. And Dawn's like, fuck you, we're not going back. I'm going back. So she goes back. Spike goes back with her. He starts, like, punching the demon because the axe that he had is, like, stuck in its neck.
Yeah.
He jumps up, grabs the axe out of its neck, and goes back to doing the same exact type of fighting that he was doing. Then Dawn grabs another egg. Spike gets bitten by the demon at one point. Yeah.
And he will,
like,
never,
his whole side.
He will never have bite marks in his jacket ever.
Yeah. Like, this thing chomped down on him, dude.
Yeah, this three-headed monster. Did you think she was going to fall with the second egg? Because I kind of
did. That would have been hilarious.
I really thought, like, she was.
Spike would have been like, oh, bloody hell.
I felt bad for this demon, you know, it's just laying its eggs, sleeping, you know, seems
like
not hurting
anybody.
Doing
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, she gets the egg, they escape. And then we cut to a scene of Dawn starting to do the spell. So then...
Wait, and this is where in my notes I wrote down, Buffy never checked on Dawn even once. That was my note. Because she has not seen her since the funeral, which has been a day, a whole day.
Yeah, I guess that she assumes that Willow and Tara are still hanging out with her, but that's obviously not true.
All day? She's even been at the magic box.
Yeah. I mean, she picked up a job. She went to a guru. She fought a demon, stole an egg, started a spell on Buffy.
Is Buffy not like, dinner? Do I need to make dinner for this? They've been trying to feed her food all this time.
That's the cure for sadness. So anyway, Dawn starts doing the spell. Then we go over to like Willow and Tara. And they're just chilling out. Willow's journaling about eating breakfast and Tara's like, why do you need to know about what I ate for breakfast? And Willow's like, I'm just trying to remember life better, you know? It's seeing the fragility of life with Joyce dying and everything. I want to remember every single little detail, especially when it comes to my life with you. And Tara's like, oh, honey, wait a minute. Where's the history of witchcraft?
I thought they were going to kiss here.
So did I.
And I like that she was like, I know you had Sunny Side Up eggs, you know?
Like, they look like little jiggly boobs.
I wrote down sassy, sunny side up, jiggly boob eggs.
Yeah. But Tara's like, oh, that's sweet. Where the fuck is my book?
And then Willow goes into, I've been caught cheating on you, level of acting.
Just the worst.
Yeah.
And Tara's like, Dawn must have taken it. And Willow's like, yeah, I mean, it's not that bad. You know, if Dawn takes it, who cares? Like, it's just, you know, it's a history book. And Tara's like, that's really bad if she took it. It's horrible. It's dangerous. And Willow's like, I mean, it's just a history book. There's no real actual spells in it. And Tara's like, yeah, but it has the roadmap to how to find out what spells to do in order to do that. And then Willow's like, it might not be bad. Maybe Dawn's just reading. Maybe she's just interested in it. Yeah. And Tara's like, no, it's bad, dude. We got to call Buffy. And Willow's like, yeah, okay, fine. Let's call Buffy.
Yeah. It was just one of those like, Willow, what are you doing? I thought if she learned about magic that could bring her mom back, it'd be fine, you know? She smoked a whole pack of cigarettes. You know? Then she won't smoke again. Like, it's just like, what are you doing, Willow?
Yeah.
And there's a part where she goes, Tara's like, oh, what else does she take? And Willow's like, nothing. I mean, probably nothing. I don't know. What? And it's like, wouldn't she look around the room for more stuff? Like, you guys have talismans. You have like a whole, like, you guys do witchcraft in here. Like, there's other stuff.
Yeah.
Tara's like, we don't have time. We got to call Buffy.
Yeah. So they call Buffy. Then we cut to Buffy coming home and she answers the phone. She's like, hey, it's Buffy Summers. How's it going? What? She did what?
Then and we you cut helped? To Dawn.
Then we cut to Dawn upstairs doing the spell. And Buffy comes in and she's like, Dawn, what the fuck are you doing? And Dawn's like, Mom, she's coming home. She's coming home. And Buffy's like, Dawn, you have no idea what you're messing with. I talked to Tara about this because I was curious about this too. And Tara said that you should never do this because people come back wrong all the time. And Dawn's like, you don't know that. Tara's a big dumb idiot. What does she know? And Buffy's like, Dawn, you have to reverse the spell right now. And Dawn's like, fuck you. I'm not reversing the spell. I need Joyce. I need her. And Buffy's like, what? Why? And Dawn's like, because I don't have anybody. You have a whole Scooby gang. I don't have fucking anybody, dude. And then we see high heel footsteps.
She didn't even want the mom. She didn't even want the mom at one point.
But then we see footage of high heel footsteps walking through the graveyard. And yeah, Dawn's like, yeah, I don't have anybody. And Dawn is like, it's obvious that you don't even want me around, Buffy. And Buffy's like, What? Who said that? Of course I want you around. And Dawn's like, no, mom died. And it's like, you don't even care. You haven't even cried or anything. And then Buffy gets super pissed about this and just slaps Dawn across the face, which I loved.
When Dawn says Buffy doesn't care that her mom died, I was like, what show has she been watching?
Dawn, are we watching the same show, girl?
Yeah, like, I don't think any of her reactions at the hospital seemed like she didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And when Buffy's Buffy's like, dude, I've been trying to like clean up. I'm trying to figure out how to go on. And after Buffy slaps Dawn, Buffy's like, you have no fucking idea how hard this has been off for me. I'm working and I've been busy. And Dawn's like, no, you haven't been working and you haven't been busy. You've been avoiding me. And Buffy's like, I have to do all of these things to like figure out the funeral, figure out what we're going to do next. Because if I stop doing all of these things, that's when it really hits me and reality strikes that mom is really dead. And it was like, fuck, yeah, that's hard. That's deep, dude.
She can't punch vampires out of this one.
Yeah. And Buffy's like, I'm trying so hard to take care of things and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, all right? I don't know who's going to take care of us. I don't know who's going to cook for us and clean up our shit. Like, who is going to take care of us? And as Buffy's like tearing up and like unloading all of these emotions onto Dawn, you see a silhouette of zombie Joyce walking through the window and in the background. And there's knocks at the door. And as soon as the knocks at the door happen, Buffy kind of snaps out of it. And she's like, mommy? Is that you, mommy? And she goes to answer the door because she's excited. Even she's like, man, I hope that my mom comes back because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm not a real adult. I don't know how to take care of all this shit. And as she's going to answer the door, Dawn grabs the image of Joyce and rips it up to reverse the spell. And Buffy opens the door and there's nobody there.
Just a heaping mound of steaming pile of rotting flesh.
Yeah.
like who knew what would be outside that door? There's nothing. Yeah. Like it could have been awful.
Yeah. Just like see the image of like image of Joyce just like, like melting.
She rips in half like the drawing.
Yeah, like the picture.
Yeah, it was the right move. It's one of those like perfect thematic growth moments for Dawn finally letting go of her mom and Buffy not having to like see her mom come back and then having her go away. It works.
Yeah, and it was also important for Dawn to see that Buffy's also grieving and she's just handling it differently because she has to be quote unquote strong for everybody else and figure shit out because Dawn's a worthless piece of shit and she doesn't really know how to do anything. Because
Dawn's 14.
Dawn's 14, doesn't know. Because her dad's a worthless piece of shit.
Yeah. That dude.
And after Buffy opens the door and sees nothing, she just kind of closes the door and kind of hangs her head. And then Buffy and Dawn hug and just fall to the ground sobbing.
Yeah, and a lot of floor crying.
That is the episode. That's where it ends. And I was like, damn, dude, that was fucking brutal.
I know, they just back to back.
Yeah.
Heavy episodes. I'm like, all right, let's get to some silliness now.
Yeah, please.
Especially to come back to this episode a month later. Like, you just got over the body episode. You're like, all right, this is fine. Almost 2 months later. You're like, all right, I just need a really fun, relaxing Buffy episode. Nope.
Yeah. They probably had fun, relaxing ones in between reruns.
Yeah, the reruns, yeah.
Let's get you back caught up to the sadness that's going on.
Yeah. It would have been interesting if they did a full Pet Sematary thing. It's no way they would bring back the actress after like 2 months, you know?
Yeah.
And oh, I know what I wanted to say. My thought, because I remember I kept saying like two episodes ago, I think she might still be alive because I saw this one image. Yeah. That I couldn't remember. Like, I don't think we've seen yet. And I was like, oh, we'll get the image here. And I'll be like a little slightly validated. And I think the image was her like standing in the living room. And she's like kind of like bloody holding something up.
Oh.
And I think I've seen this. And I don't know if it was like one of those like behind the scenes like candids that's not really in the show or something. And I don't think we've seen her like bloody in the living room. Or like, but she had like a smirk on her face, like she was smiling, like, oh, oops, I cut the head off this demon kind of thing. I don't know where I saw it, but I just remember seeing something like that. And I was like, oh, this is the perfect time for this to happen. Her coming back, being a weird, like half zombie, could have been kind of funny and silly, like a Weekend at Bernie's.
Maybe she comes back later on in like a guest starring role.
Yeah, maybe. But I do think after the body episode, her being dead is like, there's no coming back from that. Like, it's a waste of an episode if she was to come back.
You want to know what I was thinking? So when Buffy's talking to Angel, she mentions Dawn. And I was waiting for Angel to be like, who's Dawn? And then Buffy would be like, oh, right. Okay, well, I guess this didn't affect everybody. Okay, so I have a fake sister now. Let me catch you up. Let me catch you up to speed here, Angel. I know that you've been in LA doing your thing. So I have this fake sister. She's a key. There's this Lady Glory. Cordelia hasn't had any visions about this.
Yeah.
She had a vision about that Native American spirit guy, but not a hell god that is here. Interesting. Anyway.
Must not be important. Must not be important.
Yeah. I guess this doesn't really have anything to do with the apocalypse or the powers that be or whatever you do in your show. But yes, that is the episode. Do you have anything else to say about Forever, Vance?
Not really. Willow's a little weirdo.
Yeah.
And
Willow's doing some real questionable shit here.
Dr. Intern Ben works at a hospital, doesn't know how to kill anybody.
Truth.
Yeah.
All right. The next episode is titled Intervention.
I don't think this is what's going to happen, but I want to say the dad comes back. He's an alcoholic. They have an intervention for him.
Xander has an intervention for his parents.
Like, maybe what could be lighter? What could be like on theme, but slightly lighter?
Also, there's only four episodes left.
This is
episode 18. Like, the glory stuff's really got to ramp up. Intervention. Maybe it's them finding out about Dr. Intern Ben? Or Spike having an intervention? Spike going to have his brain washed to forget about Buffy? He does an Eternal Sunshine as...
Oh my god, we still got that robot left. We still got that robot that he once built of Buffy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Maybe that's what that reptile guy was seeing. He was like, there was a version of you playing dominoes. Maybe instead of it being the trifecta or the third hell demon, it's that guy instead made a spike robot that was brunette.
It's got brown hair.
Yeah. So that's
and Spike needs an intervention to stop banging his robot.
I think intervention.
We all don't like you, but you gotta get a grip.
I think it's going to have something to do more with intervening than intervention in the normal sense of the
word. Yeah, like you're an alcoholic and we need to help you. This is like maybe Glory captures Dawn.
Yeah, I got it. I think this is the episode where the third. I love how we predict 50 things and then like this is the real prediction.
And then we're like, we nailed it.
Yeah. I think this is where that third hell demon comes in and he intervenes between Glory and Dr. Intern Ben because they're at odds with each other. And this third hell demon is like, you two are going to work together. It's like a parent figure.
Or maybe this is the return of the Knights of Byzantium intervening
they're never coming back.
Bro, if they never come back, that's going to be quite hilarious.
Yeah.
We'll have thousands upon thousands and thousands. And then they're just like there for two episodes, like 16 of them show up.
Yeah. Buffy didn't even care about them after she didn't even mention them after she fought them to the Watchers. That's how much she forgot about them. She walked in with a giant sword and was like, yeah, don't worry about where that's from. Give Jazz a raise.
But yep, that is a wrap for forever, everybody. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. Sign up for our Discord. We have a bunch of fun chatter in there. Sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies, Joe's Fashion Report /Corner. Potentially some more fun stuff going up on there. Maybe some more video content because we got that Wish card game.
Olive Garden is in front of the Wish card game.
Yeah.
We're overdue for the Olive Garden.
At Olive Garden.
You are family there, and the Wish card game is a family game.
It is. So we got all that going on. If you you want to get a shout out. 5-star Apple Podcast rating and review. 5-star rating on Spotify. Screenshot it, send it to my DMs at Joe Welke, or get us something off of our Amazon wish list. We got a bunch of good fun stuff on there, Buffy themed and not Buffy themed. Still waiting on that Oculus. Vance is still waiting on a Switch. Who's gonna be the big spender?
Who's gonna do it? Who's gonna get the longest shout out ever?
Yeah, I know, right? Who's gonna have a whole episode just dedicated to talking about how awesome that person is?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm happy with the Mountain Dews. Keep those dews flooding, baby. I'm happy. I want to bathe in that shit. I got to deliver the Baja Blast ones to you, like a couple of them, because, dude, that's a game changer. Baja Blast is legit. Right, Thank you, Tofu.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of like, you seem like you liked Major Melon, right?
Yeah, it was fine.
It was all right.
Yeah.
So there's that Amazon wishlist, Throne wishlist. Nobody ever looks at that. Instagram at Boys Watching Buffy. Email boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. And yeah, that's a wrap. Stay tuned next time for when we talk about Intervention.
This is really bad. But it's just a history book. It might answer some of her questions. I don't think she could do any harm with that stuff, could she?
Well, it's not a how-to guide, but it refers to specific resurrection spells and potions.
But how'd you know that?
I don't know, but God, what else did she take?
Nothing. She took nothing else, but... Maybe she did, and we should probably look, because who knows? I don't.